And I'd ask you to go ahead and be turning your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, where we've been over the last few Sunday nights and our time together. Don, it seems like sometimes you just are right on where I need you to be when you're picking out these songs. It's amazing. What we have already noticed in the book of Ephesians is that Paul prays for Christians. He prays for Christians so that they would understand what the hope or the earnest expectation of God's calling was. Not so much what I hope to get out of God, but what God hopes to get out of me as a Christian. That we would understand the hope and the expectation of his calling. That we would understand the power that God has given to us to help us accomplish that calling. That calling is a part of what Paul laid out in chapter 1 as being a part of God's purpose or God's plan that he predestined for us as Christians to participate in. And you remember the evidence of that plan is seen in chapter 1 as he talks about God's purpose. In verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will. This is something that's been hidden in the past. But now through Jesus, God has revealed what his whole plan was about. The righting of all wrongs. You know, the renewal of creation. Taking everything that has been going wrong since the garden and setting it right so that humanity could be what God intended it to be when he created it in his image and even more than what God created him to be. And this plan, this purpose that he set forth in Christ, according to Paul in verse 9, is for when everything comes together in the fullness of time and God unites all things in him, things that are in heaven, that is God's space, and things that are on earth, which is our space, so that everything that exists comes together in God's praise and glory and adoration, and everything fulfills the purpose in which or for which God had created it. And so if we're going to do this, the point that Paul makes in the book of Ephesians is that we've all got to do it together. God broke down this middle wall of hostility he talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. And people that were set apart, that were apart because of ethnic differences and because of cultural differences, namely the people of God over here who are the Jews, who have been worshiping one God all along, can now be reconciled, can be brought together along with these people over here. Everybody else, people who have been pagans, people who have been worshiping idolatrous things. And now they can be united as a part of this plan under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when this happens, Paul says that we are becoming the foundation of something spectacular. The household of God, based on the work of the apostles, based on the work of the prophets. This is in chapter 2 at the very end, in verses 20 and 21. The work of the apostles, the work of the prophets, meeting together where Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. God's plan brought to fruition, and when that happens, he said, these works come together, and we, that is Jews and Gentiles, everybody in the world who will listen to and submit to Jesus Christ and participate in God's plan to accomplish this restoration are being built up, he said, into a temple, into the dwelling place of God here on this earth. What a wonderful and glorious purpose. What a wonderful and glorious opportunity. What a wonderful and glorious job that we have been given to do. But the doing of that job is not easy. Sometimes we get let down. Sometimes, as we sang just a few minutes ago, we do grow weary. Sometimes we have need of strength in order to get through, in order to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And this happens sometimes because we let ourselves down, quite frankly. Sometimes it's because we don't keep our eyes on what the purpose is. And sometimes we get distracted by everything that's around us. And we let ourselves down. We let God down in the process. And we get down on ourselves. And we wonder, am I really cut out for this? Sometimes it's because other people let us down. Other people don't meet our expectations. Sometimes it's because, quite frankly, the circumstances get hard. Sometimes it's because we face opposition from those who are outside, who don't see God's plan, who don't see God's purposes, and they don't see the value in what we're doing. It doesn't make any sense to them, and they don't understand it. And Paul talks about a moment where it looks like he would be weak. He talks about a moment where it seems like things are not going in the right direction. Now remember, God is accomplishing this renewal of all things currently, in the present. It's not just something that's way out there in the sweet by and by. He's working on this right here and right now, and you and I are a part of it. And he said, God put this power on display when he raised Jesus from the dead. There's the start of it all. And when he caused Jesus to ascend into heaven. And Jesus is ruling and reigning right now. And he's working on correcting all things, fixing all things. And you and I are letting God work through us to do that. Well, if that's the case, why do we have moments when we're weak? Why do we have moments when we struggle? Why do we have moments where circumstances turn against us and we have to deal with these chaotic things? Why does it seem like sometimes God's plan is not being put together? Paul said in chapter 3 and verse 1, it's for this reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner on your behalf, the behalf of you Gentiles. He's talking about the fact that he is writing this very letter to them, where he talks about God's great plan and the fact that we're all participating in it and everything is coming together, and in the fullness of time it's all going to be brought together, and we're working on it one step at a time. But right now, Paul's in prison. And it seems like right now he is at a weak moment. Maybe not necessarily a weak moment where he doubts what he's doing spiritually, but he's in a moment where the world seems to be resisting and working against him. What do you do when you are in a moment of weakness? When you are in a moment of weariness, you remember and you fall back on the plan and the purpose. And you fall back on the very thing that got you where you were. Paul says, you have been saved by grace through faith. You fall back on your absolute trust and your absolute loyalty and your absolute commitment to follow Jesus. That even though all these things that are terrible may be happening, you're still committed to Jesus, to follow him no matter what. you may not be able to see how all of these things are working together to accomplish God's plan. These moments of weariness. But you entrust yourself faithfully to Him anyway. When you can't see what's going on, you entrust the one who you know is giving you strength and through whom you live. And so Paul says that we're living according to God's eternal purpose in chapter 3 in verse 11. And it's through this eternal purpose that's realized in Christ Jesus our Lord that we have boldness and we have access to God in confidence and in faith. And so he says in verse 13, so I ask you. He's beseeching them. He's begging them. I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you. Because he says, this very thing that I am suffering on your behalf is for your glory. Somehow, some way, through Paul being in prison, it's going to work out to be a glorious thing on their behalf. And so once again, Paul says, as I think about your possible weariness, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to hit my knees. This is in verse 14. He says, for this reason, because of the fact that we're all supposed to be participating in God's plan, we're supposed to understand what the hope of God's calling is for us, we're supposed to be participating in His purpose to reconcile all things to Him under heaven and earth, because we're supposed to be joined together as two separate groups of people that are coming into one, that are becoming the foundation for a temple for God to live in the world, and because we grow weak and weary through the process. I look at your weariness and the response that I as an apostle have is to pray. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We all originate in Him. We are all stamped with His image. No matter what tribe we come from, no matter what family we come from. And he says, this is why, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. When the going gets tough, when it doesn't seem like it's working out, when trying to participate in God's work gets so hard that you become weary and you become discouraged, He wants us to remember that God can strengthen us through power, through the Spirit in our inner beings. That we can be refreshed, that we can be renewed, that we can be energized at the very core of our being and who we are. And how does that happen? That happens through the Spirit that He has given. That happens through this very thing that He says is the evidence and the seal. You remember this from chapter 1. It's the evidence and the seal that God's already at work, that the promise of renewing all things and bringing all things together is already being granted. God's Spirit active in your life and in your heart. He said, I'm praying that that very same Spirit is strengthening you, is building you up, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And He also wants this to be the outcome. That you, He says in verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's stop and break that down for just a minute. He says, I want you to be, when the going gets tough, I'm hitting my knees for you and I'm praying for you. I want you to be strengthened through the power of Jesus' Spirit. And here's where I want that. I want you to see that this is going. This is going in one direction, that you would be rooted and grounded in love. What's going to get you through when you don't feel like going anymore? It is love. It is a commitment to do what is best for the people that you love, for the God whom you love, and for the world whom He loves. And doing what is best means loving. And loving means that you always think about the highest need of those who are beloved to you. And that you give not because you feel like it, but you give over and over and over again because you know that's what's right and that's what's best. See, oftentimes we don't feel like going. And when we have lost desire, when we have lost drive, when we have lost emotion because of weariness, because of grief, because of circumstances, because of opposition, because of failure, there's one thing that keeps us going, and that is our highest goal, our highest value. And Paul says that is love. What is it that John says that God is? He says, beloved, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God, and everyone who loves is born or begotten of God. And everyone who does not love, or he that does not love, does not know God, because God is what? Because God Himself is love. Paul wants us to be rooted in the very essence of who God is. And it is because of God's self-giving love, His determination to give and to have an intimacy with others, that we even exist at all, that we were even created. And it's because of God's great love, of course, that we were reconciled when we separated ourselves from Him. Paul says, I want you to be rooted and grounded in that. And when you have the highest good of God, the highest good for your beloved, as your central value, then you can go on and do things you never knew you could do. He says, you may, when you are rooted and grounded in love, in verse 18, you may have the strength to comprehend. You can understand things you couldn't understand before. You can understand with all the saints, that is all God's of holy ones, what is the breadth? What is the length? What is the height? And what is the depth? You can understand where all the limits are. You can understand just how far love would go. And so when you couldn't see yourself going any further, when you don't know how I'm going to have the strength to do this, when you don't know how you would have the strength to serve in opposition, when others are in opposition to you, and to seek their highest good, to love your enemies, to bless those who persecute you, to do good to those who hate you, or when you don't know how you would have the strength to serve through illness, through chronic pain, or when you don't know how you would have the strength to serve God or others through your grief while you're wondering how you could have lost what you've lost in your life. Where you see a limit, love goes beyond. And Paul said, I want you to see just how far you can go. I want you to understand just how far you can go. And then he says in verse 19, and I want you to know the love of Christ. To see the love of Jesus, to understand just how much he loves you, to understand just how much he loves God and the world. The love of Christ, which, he says, surpasses all knowledge. When you don't see a way, love makes a way. And Jesus is the living embodiment of it. And this is all Paul says for a purpose, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I'm going to stop and think about that for a second. That you may be filled to the brim, as full as you can possibly be, with all of God's heart and God's character. That you could experience the love of God so that you could, in essence, become the love of God itself out in the world. How amazing is that? And so as Paul thinks about this, he just absolutely has to stop, and he has to think about praise. He has to stop and he has to glorify God for this wonderful gift. For what is possible when we didn't think that there was a possibility? He says in verse 20, a passage you're probably pretty familiar with. Now to him who is able to do what? Who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think. God's able to accomplish so much more when we have faith and trust in him, when we're rooted and grounded in this love. That it's not us that's accomplishing these things, but it is God that is accomplishing these things. And it is, Paul says, according to the power that is at work within us. Supercharged with God's Spirit and love that's working through us. And so he says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And amen. There is Paul's favorite phrase in Ephesians. Once again, glory to God in the church and in the Messiah, Jesus. In Christ, we have all of these things. And we have none of them outside of Christ. No matter how much you might think that there are people out there with drive and enthusiasm and purpose to accomplish good things, none of it is anything compared to what God does through his people in the church and in Christ Jesus. Because it's through Christ that God is accomplishing this mission to renew all things. Remember what Paul said that God was going to do? He said that God was going to give all things to the church. This is in Ephesians 1 and verse 22. He put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him as to head over all things. That is, Jesus has put his head over all things to the church. He is indeed head over all things in the church, but he is head over all things, and those things are to the church themselves, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. All of these things given to the church for God's glory, and God's work in the world is accomplished in the church. how important it is for us not to grow weary in the work of love, as we sang a few minutes ago. Because it is through that work of love that God is redeeming the world, that God is accomplishing that. And it is through that work of love that we exemplify to the world just what is good and beautiful and loving about the human race itself, created in the image of God. How wonderful and mighty a God that we serve, who is far above and beyond anything that we imagine, and is capable far more than we ever imagine, if we are willing to live through faith, and if in Christ we are rooted and grounded in love. Perhaps tonight you know that there are moments where you're experiencing this weakness, where you're experiencing the world working against you, where you're experiencing a sense of failure, where you're experiencing that this thing in, that God wants you to participate in is not going the way you want it to in your life, not going the way He wants it to in your life. And we stand ready to pray with you if you want to be renewed to that purpose, working in love. Or perhaps tonight you want to become a Christian, you want to be baptized, then we're ready to do that for you as well. All you have to do is let us know your desire by coming to the front as we stand and sing to encourage you.